Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
No puedes hacer eso. ¿En qué estás pensando?
Tú no... Blog Talk Radio.
No puedes hacer eso. ¿En qué estás pensando? Tú no eres lo suficientemente bueno. No vas a conseguir ese trabajo. Tú no tienes educación. ¿Qué? Eso es para gente inteligente, no para ti. Esa ropa no te va, te ves ridículo. ¿Quieres ir a dónde? ¿Con qué? Recuerda que no tienes dinero y no sirves para nada. A ti nadie te quiere. Esa es la voz del ego tóxico. La voz que te está reteniendo de tu vida divina. La doctora Nidia está aquí para guiarte en aprender a dejar de lado esta voz. Ella está aquí para enseñarte el trabajo interno de un viaje a través del alma y estimularte en la creación de un pasaje para tu desarrollo espiritual. La doctora Nidia recibió su doctorado en psicología del Union Institute and University, con énfasis en estudios de adicción. Está registrada.
Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back in your divine life. Dr. Nidia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nidia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She's a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com. Dr. Nidia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nidia.
And good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Alma's here with us today. She's probably going to be with us from now on, right?
Yes.
Hopefully.
Probably.
Well, today's topic is self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, how's your self-esteem?
Mine is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling good and capable to do anything.
Like what?
Like anything.
I can, you know, right now I feel I can enter in the university and study a career or start a new job or start anything that is even completely different to all the things I have known from, you know, until now. How come?
I don't know. How come? What do you mean?
How come your self-esteem is high?
Well, I had, I think like 2 years ago, it was under the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, you know.
Because I... At that time, it was, of course, my responsibility. I allowed another person to
you know, to diminish me, or I don't know the word. But
demean you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was my fault because I allowed this person to do that.
It's your responsibility.
It is.
Okay.
Yes. And now I don't allow anybody to, you know, you can say, you can tell, you can do whatever you want, but I'm okay. Even, I mean, there are a few moments where I feel I am in this passage where I'm not sure if what do I do or how do I react. But I think that things that, you know, it takes like two, three days,
mm-hmm.
and that go away.
Okay, so you don't stay there very long.
No.
Yeah, Alma, you said something very important. You gave your power to another person.
Yes.
And this, when we do that, this will really do a lot of harm to our self-esteem because we no longer have the power over our own lives because we give it to other people. And so we feel that the other person is bringing us down when in reality they're really not, because people are the way they are. They're not the way you want them to be. They're not the way you think they should be.
Yeah.
They just are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give that power to another person, the other person's going to take it because they feel powerful that they can manipulate you and make you do anything that they want you to do. The problem is that most of what they want you to do, you don't want to do. But you do it because you've given them the power to do that.
Yeah. You know, most of the time I allow all people to... I am the person that I like to be... I like you to feel good,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
you're a people person.
Yes. So I... sometimes I ask, how to say that? I let you do things that I don't want. I don't really want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I can afford. You know, I can live doing that. But at the end, I don't want it to do it.
Exactly.
But the thing is, when you permit, allow that one time and two times.
And then it's hard to break.
Yes.
We don't have to break.
So now I, from the beginning, from the first time,
mm-hmm.
I say to you, I'm sorry, but I don't really want to do that.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to do it.
But the thing is that it's not just doing what other people tell you to do. And when you're on a job, when you're working, and your boss says do something, and you don't want to do it, you don't say to your boss, you know, hell with you, I'm not going to do it, because then you lose your job.
Hmm.
But you can still keep your integrity, even in a place of work, because you've chosen a specific job.
Yes.
Or you've gotten a job, you may not like it, but it may be a stepping stone to something else. We're not talking about that. What I'm talking about is, When you've actually turned your power, your whole life, over to somebody else, and this somebody else is abusing that power.
Yes.
And everybody will abuse it because it's easy to do.
Yes.
Kids do it with the parents all the time. I have a friend who tells his mother to go to hell. F you, and then hits her. And the mother comes to me and says, I don't know what to do. The thing, you don't know what to do. You're the adult. He's the child. Set boundaries. But if I say anything, he'll hit me, then call the police. You know, we're so afraid to show our children that we're not
the final authority. And what happens is that when our children are out of control at home, they're going to be out of control of us, because this is the way they cope. They know that if they yell back at their mother, mom is going to back off. If they hit their mother, mom is going to back off and let them do whatever they want. What happens is that we don't teach our children a lot of times boundaries, and children need structure. See, the reason kids will misbehave and act the way they do is because they don't know another way of doing things. We don't teach them as parents. A lot of us don't teach our children. We let them get away with murder. And then when they do kill somebody, then we wonder why. Where did my kid go wrong? Because we never taught them to be responsible for themselves. So here we are, all these adults who are whiners, bitchers, and complainers and takers, because we as a society let it happen. And so when you're in a relationship with a person who's beating you up, this is a person that when he was a child, he was a violent person, and they allowed him to get away with it. You call the cops once on your kids, trust me, they will never, ever, you'll never have problems with them. My daughter, when she was 11 years old, she tells this to her son. When she was 11 years old, she was she cut school and went to play with some friends of hers that lived in the building where we lived. And two of the kids went into a store, a grocery store, and stole some candy and ran out. So the security or somebody in the store came running after the kids. And so one of the kids just threw a cake or donuts or something at my daughter. My daughter caught it. So they picked her up. But when the police came, they took her to the police station. And the police called me and they said, come and pick your daughter up. They knew she hadn't done anything wrong, that it was, you know, because the guy saw it. But they all had to come downtown because they were playing boogie. And so when the police called me and said, come pick your daughter up, I said, no. She got herself into this. Let her get herself out. And he said, but she didn't do anything wrong. I mean, she just happened to be with these kids. I said, good. Let her figure out how she's going to get out of it. Because
she won't be with her.
Because as an adult, she's going to have friends, that she needs to know that they're not really her friends, that they're going to get her into trouble.
Yeah.
And I refused to go get her. The cop said, well, what are we going to do with her? I said, I don't care. She was 11 years old. And so I called my son, and he was just a kid also. I mean, he might have been like 11, 12. And I told him, I said, go get your sister. She's in the police station in New York. So, but I didn't go get her. My daughter will not do anything wrong, and neither will my kids. And it's not to say that they haven't gotten into trouble. They don't come back and tell me. They do not tell me. The last time one of my kids got in trouble, he got into a fight, he got arrested. He tried calling me, and I refused to answer his call. And my daughter was the one that went to jail to see him. And he had to get himself out because he got himself in there. I didn't give him permission to do that. I didn't say, now go out there and beat a couple of people up. So why should I have to go to jail, even if it's on the other side of the bar? And no, I choose not to do that. I choose not to go to jail for you or for me or for anyone.
Yeah.
See? So he never got in trouble again, ever. So today, so now. And he's even a better person because of it. See? When my brothers were younger, they used to get into trouble all the time. They would get arrested. My brothers were heroin addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get caught stealing something, and they'd get put in jail. And my mother would hop everything and beg, borrow, and steal to get my brothers out. So they'd come out in the morning, and in the afternoon, they were already getting arrested again. And there she was again going for bail money, money that she kept losing because, you know, if you're bailed out and you commit another crime, you lose that money. But the point is that I saw my mother going through this. And one day, my mother just couldn't take it anymore. She was totally overwhelmed. And she went to the jail. I have two older brothers, the younger one of the two. He got arrested, and she went to jail, and she says, he needed a pair of shoes, so my mother got him the pair of shoes. And she says, I brought you your shoes. And he said, well, when am I getting out? She said, I don't know. That's it, I'm done. There's no bail money. There's no nothing. I think he had gotten arrested 3 times that week.
Oh, my God.
And she said, no, I'm not even going to go to you at court. So whatever happens, I'll see you when you get out. 5 years later.
Oh, my God.
Okay? He never, ever, ever got arrested again.
Yes, because the thing is, when you get arrested, sometimes it's not your fault, but as you say, it depends. Because if you get arrested because you were with the no good people, mm-hmm. that you know that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, when you are in prison, you have to take care of these persons. I mean, you have to send them money. You have to go.
Actually, no, you don't have to.
Of course, you don't have to.
That's the whole point.
But that's the thing. Everybody do that, and they come back.
Well, the person who is an enabler will do that. And see, my brother used to think that it was my mother's responsibility to take care of him. He can do whatever he wants, and my mother was going to save him.
Yeah.
And in reality, she was hurting him. When my kids were using drugs, and they would come up to me, we were in New Jersey, where it's cold over there, and they were living under a bridge, and I knew where they were, and they would come up to me and ask me for money. I'd tell them, no. I'm not going to help you to destroy yourself. And people would say, what a terrible mother I was. But you know what? All my kids are in recovery, and they touched their bottom sooner. Had I been there giving them money, giving them food, letting them stay in the house nice and warm, in a nice warm bed, for them to go out and do their crazy things and create chaos in my life and the life of everyone in my house, I wouldn't have been doing him a favor.
Of course.
But we think that, oh, I can't call the police on my kids. Why not? Because what's going to happen is if you don't do it, somebody else will. And you're going to find that if your child is going to die in the street and you're enabling him, you're helping him to destroy himself or herself. And we say, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to call the police because I don't want to do them any harm. Please, they're destroying themselves, right? And even if they're not using drugs or alcohol, whenever we do for other people what they can do for themselves, we're helping them to be helpless. We're teaching them, you don't know how to do it, so that's why I'm going to do it for you. You're too stupid to tie your own shoes, so I'm going to tie your shoes for you. See?
Mm-hmm.
You're too stupid to cook your own food, so I'm going to cook it for you. And then we don't teach them. And we tell them, go throw out the garbage. And they say, okay, but they don't. And then we say, okay, well, now I have to go throw out the garbage. No, it was that person's responsibility. You're doing for them what they're supposed to be doing for themselves. And this is why we have low self-esteem. Because if the message that you're sending me is that I'm stupid, how hard can my self-esteem be? If you're sending me the message that I can't do something, how high is my self-esteem?
You can imagine I stopped thinking
mm-hmm.
because this person I have, it was a friend,
mm-hmm.
I had a deal with this with this girl, and she started saying to me, you are not thinking good, that's not good, everything. You know, I opened my mouth without even a sound, and it was wrong. And she wanted me to sing like this person or this other singer or whatever, and I believed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I allowed her to tell me all this craziness, and I finished not believing that
because you gave her your power. And that's what happens when you give somebody your power. I work in a place where it's very competitive. And every day I go to work, I say, oh, they're probably going to fire me today because I don't compete with anybody. I don't argue with them. I mean, they're constantly, there's always something. And not me. Oh, you want to go left? Okay, go left. Oh, you want to go right? Okay, go right. And I agree with everybody because I don't get into the politics of this one did that one wrong and that the other one did something else wrong. And since I don't get into it, you know, sometimes we mistake kindness for weakness. And sometimes they think that, oh, I'm weak or I don't understand something. And so, you know, it's like, she's kind of not all there because she's 70 years old and she's probably getting Alzheimer's. And I'm just not paying attention. It doesn't bother me that they're going through all their nonsense. I live one day at a time. So if I get fired today, it's not going to bother me because I have no expectations for tomorrow. I went to the doctor the other day. I told you, right? Yes.
I went to the doctor the other day, my cardiologist, and he started checking my carotid artery. And he checked over here, and then he checked over here, and then he checked on the other side, and then he checked on the other side again. And he went back and forth. And at some point, I realized, this guy is listening to something that's not right. So he said to me, do you fall to the right? And I said to myself, how did he know? And I thought I was falling to the right, kind of off balance, because I did have a stroke a while back. And since then, I've been kind of falling a little bit to the right. And I've been feeling a little strange. And he says to me, well, I'm going to do a sonogram on you. So he went and he did a sonogram. And then he got another doctor to come and listen to give him a second opinion. And the other doctor said, yeah, it's very serious. I have a clogged carotid artery, 85% clogged. I have no idea what that means, except that it's not good. It's not something anybody wants. And he said, you're on the verge of a stroke. I said, well, I'm on the verge of a stroke. I don't have a stroke right now, right? So are you going to fix it? He said, yeah, well, so he's going to send it to another doctor. I mean, it's one day at a time, but we're all going to die at some point or another.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it, but the reality is that it's going to happen. The same way our parents had to go and their parents had to go and my son had to go and a lot of family members have to go, it'll be our time at one point or another. And a lot of people live in fear of what's going to happen to me when I die. Does anybody know for sure? Not, well, this is what I believe. What you believe and what actually is doesn't necessarily mean what you want it to mean. So the reality is that I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if I do have a soul or I don't have a soul. It doesn't matter what I believe, because what I believe is only based on what I've been told and what I have learned, not what I actually know for a fact. See? So when you recognize that you're limited. You're limited in what you know. You have no idea that there are some things that you don't know. So you don't know that you don't know. Right? And the thing is that when we start questioning, so what's going to happen to me when I die? Who cares? Yeah. I don't care. The only thing I'm scared is of the pain. You know, dying with pain.
Well, you know what? That's what morphine drips are for.
Yeah, but it depends. Sometimes you don't have time for morphine. And or there is not any way to have to get it right there, you know.
Right, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's my only thing. But, you know, as we don't know, why am I going to be worried about that if I don't really know what is going to happen?
What we have to do is prepare. We have to have that living will. Mm-hmm. We have to have all those other wills that we want. Yeah. When I die, I don't want to be left in a vegetative state. Pull the plug. If the doctor says, that's it, the brain's not functioning anymore, pull the plug. What am I going to stay around for?
Yeah.
See? You have, when, if you want to have good self-esteem, if you want to really feel good about yourself on a day-to-day basis, get rid of all those attachments. Get rid of the fear. I'm 70 years old. I'm still supporting my family. I have a disabled son that I have to take care of. And every now and then I'll think, oh, my God, what if I lose my job? What if? And then I say, well, it's not happening now. I still have my job. So why am I going to concern myself about something that hasn't even happened?
Yeah. I know people that work every day like animals.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get to put together a capital, you know,
money
to for the future,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the time when they're going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that's a friend, and I always say to him, why are you working so much? No, because I don't. When I have 50, I don't want to work anymore. And I say, okay, but what if you die before? Who's gonna have your money? Who's gonna enjoy your money?
Is he young and handsome and good looking?
Yeah.
Introduce me to him. And I'll put me on his will because he's gonna die soon. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, you know, that's something that I don't understand.
The thing is that a lot of us don't enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we doing? Who are we stepping on, trying to move ahead?
And we say, I'll be happy when I have that Rolls Royce, or I'll be happy when I have the mansion, or I'll be happy when I have $1 billion, or I'll be happy. No. You need to be happy whether you have something or not, because happiness and attachment are not the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Happiness is a feeling of peace, serenity, whatever it is that makes you happy. It's not money. Money just puts you in a very good bargaining position. That's all it does. But it doesn't create the happiness. There are people who are multi-billionaires, and they're miserable.
Yes.
So the money's not going to make you happy.
Yes, they are.
If you're a miserable human being, you're going to be miserable, poor, happy, or in between.
Mm-hmm.
Because happiness comes from within, not from without. And the money you make is outside of yourself. Your hair, your clothes, your house, your cars, those are outside of you. When you die, I have never seen anybody, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I've never seen or known anybody that has taken their house and their car and buried everything with them. Even though they said Roy Rogers or Gene Autry, one of those, was buried with his horse.
No, the Egyptians.
The Egyptians,
they got their jewelry and...
And what? Did they take it with them? It was in the same
room. No, we're getting it.
Exactly. Those are buried treasures. But the point is that if you're going to be happy, it's going to come from within. It's not going to come from anything if you see a baby, brand new baby. I saw a baby 15 days old yesterday. Oh, my God, this child was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. See? And the feeling that you get when you see the miracle of life from this child or children, it's beautiful. But that's not going to make you happy. It's a momentary, fleeting emotion. When you're really, truly happy, you feel it from within. You feel it from deep down, and it's there all the time.
Yes.
I know when my son passed away, I was sad, but I was at peace. I was at peace because I wasn't second-guessing myself. I wasn't saying if I would have been here, I could have saved him. If. See? No. It happened. That's the reality, and it's in the past. It's not happening now, and it's over. But we tend to hold on to ideas. We tend to hold on to guilt. Guilt is the most useless emotion a person could have. What can you solve from guilt? If I would have been, I was in New Mexico when my son passed away. So if I would have been here in Florida, would he have not passed away? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where I was. I could have been in the same car with him. It still was going to happen because he had the condition that he had. And I already knew, and we all knew that it was going to be a sudden death. When it comes, it comes. The point is that I can't feel guilty as an alcoholic mother of all the horrible things that happened to my children while I was drinking. And it could have been worse. But it wasn't. It was what it was. And the point is that when you do something and you feel guilty about it, you don't understand that you could not have done whatever it was that you think you should have done. You couldn't have done it any other way because you didn't have the spiritual and the emotional ability or even the knowledge to do it different.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get mad at people, which is what I've been trying to tell Betty. You can't get mad at another person who's at a spiritual level where they are. They may be very, very immature. Why am I going to get angry at you because you don't have the maturity to do what I think you should be doing? Because I don't want to accept you at the level where you are, and it doesn't make you better or worse. It's like comparing it to children and adults that go to school. A six-year-old goes to the first grade, right? A 30-year-old goes to college. So which one is better? They're both the same. They're both equal. You can't say, oh, that kid, he's stupid because he's going to the first grade. No, he's not mature enough to go to college yet. So if you can't accept the person at where they're at, then you're always going to be angry at somebody else. They don't have the ability to do it any different than the way they're doing. People who lie, I know people who are compulsive liars, that's the way they are. And my father was a big liar. Everything was a big lie. And he would blow things out of proportion. He was on the campaign of Mayor Wagner in New York in the 50s with Mayor Wagner. And he was probably handing out papers, you know, in the community. And he said that the mayor, and when he became mayor, he made him an assemblyman, and he did this, and he did that, and he was best friends with the mayor, and blah, blah, blah. And we know that's not true. When he died, the person that gave the eulogy, my sister and I almost fell off our chairs because they were saying things that we knew weren't true. But he had told these people, his new wife, his other wife, he repeated. And he,
so many times.
So many, and in his mind, he believed all these things.
You know, my husband, the only man that I was married, he was like that, a big liar, and like you said, they told the stories
so many times, and with so many ornaments, you know, that the everything was marvelous,
mm-hmm.
beautiful,
mm-hmm.
bigger, and yes, and he made himself appear. But you know, when I discovered that, like a year after we married,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say to him, this. I told him, this is why you said that. It wasn't like that. I was there. You cannot say it that way because I was there. You don't think it's a false. You know, it's you are not it, but you. Yeah, because I cannot say yes. This is not. I don't lie. Don't tell this kind of thing in front of me,
mm-hmm.
because I feel bad. And I thought this is his su armadura. This is his protection. His protection.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only thing he has mm-hmm. to continue with his life. He doesn't have anything. He's an empty man.
Right. And he lives in the fantasy.
Yes.
And my father was the same way, and it was like I got angry. My sister and I were really pissed off when we left when he was buried and they did that eulogy. And I went up to the person that did the eulogy, and I told that person off. I said, "How come you're telling all these things? None of that is true." And she said, "Well, I don't know. This is what his wife told me to say." And she actually believed all of his lines.
Or not, but what
more
no.
she believed
yeah.
it. You know why? You know she believed it? Because he was already dead. It didn't matter if she acknowledged those things.
I don't think that. And, you know, there is some people that are very, very, for them it's very important to keep the...
Exactly, because she was in that fantasy. She was caught up in that fantasy.
Yeah.
So she believed what she was saying. What?
Or maybe she didn't believe it, but everybody believed it. So she had to continue with the same, you know, game because
I don't know.
Maybe.
Trust me, she believed it. I know she believed it.
Of course.
At some point, if it's not true and you know it's not true, see, you couldn't keep up the game.
No.
And you had to get out of the relationship. She lived with him like 40 years.
Oh, yeah, she believed it.
She believed it. You know, and she repeated and repeated and repeated it because he said it. And I remember one time we were talking in my sister's house, and they were there, and we had dinner together. And we were talking, and then at some point I said, "Daddy, what?" And I asked him a question. I don't remember what the question was. And he says, "Oh, I don't remember that far back." And it wasn't that far back. See, so he didn't want me to burst the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
He got all nervous. I don't remember. I don't remember that far back. I don't remember everything, you know. So he got all flustered. That like, and my sister and I looked at each other. We knew.
Yeah.
Oh, this one doesn't know about that one. His wife didn't know about that. And we left it alone, primarily because what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, it's in his, even though I could care less if he would have gotten mad at me, but the point is that what would I have gained from it?
Nothing.
Nothing. And you have to pick your battles. You have to know when to confront somebody and when not to, because this is a learning, we're here as a learning process.
Yes.
We're learning and we're teaching at the same time.
I was thinking the other day, what should I learn? You know, since we are born,
mm-hmm.
We learn things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we have to learn from zero.
Right.
Until the day we die, every day, every second, we learn things.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, that choose to study and to get in
mm-hmm.
more deep in the knowledge,
mm-hmm.
they go deeper. But at the end, everybody learns.
You have to.
Yeah, but what is like that. Yeah, because we don't know where we go. But
the thing is, exactly, we have no idea where we came from. We have no idea where we're going. There is no scientific absolute proof that this happened or that happened or this is what's going to happen or this, you know. We have no way of knowing. But we do know that if you look at society, generation after generation after generation, every generation is smarter.
Yeah.
Than the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, we didn't have computers, we didn't have television. Television came out in the 50s, and the only time we got a television in our house was when one of our brothers stole a television and brought it into the house before they sold it to somebody. So they'd set it all up, we'd watch television for a day or two, and then boom, one day it's gone. And then a few weeks later, another one comes in, you know. So that's my experience as far as watching television. We never bought a television until much later, in the 50s and 60s, that there was a TV set in my house. That was ours, not my brother's borrowing and selling. So, cell phones. I have a computer in front of me right now. I'm talking on a cell phone, and I'm talking to a lot of people who will listen to my show maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Who knows?
I remember I was in France when the first pagers came out.
Pagers, remember that?
Yes. You know, they were cellular phones, but they were like
the huge one.
Yeah, like a stone, mm-hmm. Like a big thing.
A big thing, and then a car.
Yeah, yeah, that was for, you know, for rich people, and that was a military technology, that's everything, because mm-hmm. everything gets first.
Right, somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah, because they have the money for the research mm-hmm. and everything. And I got this pager, and I love technology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about clothes, shoes. I don't care about, but technology. Oh yeah, that's my life.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had the normal pages where you get a phone number,
mm-hmm.
like call me.
Right.
No, I got one with text.
Mm-hmm.
You could text
mm-hmm.
and get text back.
Right.
Oh my. Yeah, that was everybody look at me like, the latest,
the high echelon.
Yeah, and it was like that, like it was the size was like a big cell phone.
I remember those pages where they could text you, and you could text back, and the ones where you had to call, you had to stop what you're doing and find a public phone.
Yes,
they don't have those anymore. You don't see the phones on the street don't even work half the time. But the point is that we evolve, and we're evolving, and we're evolving. To where it goes, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be around to see that next generation. See? And so the thing is that we are growing, and we are learning. And one of the things that is important is that we give it back. Did you see the picture, Pay It Forward, the movie?
No.
That was a beautiful, beautiful.
No.
I mean, it was just incredible. It was a tearjerker, too. But the reality is that he had a project in school
mm-hmm.
that he had to do. And so he developed the Pay It Forward philosophy. And so he started giving things or doing things for others, and not asking for anything in return other than pay it forward, do it for somebody else. And it got, you know, it became huge all around the world where people were paying it forward. And that whole idea of giving something to somebody without the need to get something back, the need that the getting something back is the satisfaction that you get, that you know that you started the ball rolling and that other people are doing for other people.
without asking for something in return. It's very important that we understand that, because if you want to have self-esteem, do something just because you want to do it. Help somebody with the homework. Help somebody across the street. Give somebody directions. Smile. Everybody where I work, in the building where I work, everybody smiles at me. And one time a friend of mine said to me, why is everybody smiling at you? You know all these people? I said, no. But I'm always smiling. And I look people in the face and I smile. And I say, good morning, good afternoon. And so I may not recognize them, but they recognize me.
Yeah.
And then they go and smile at somebody else. See? And the whole thing is that if you want to have good self-esteem, do something productive. And look at what you did. Can you drive? See? When you say, wow, I'm smart enough to drive a car. I have a friend who drives a truck, an 18-wheeler, and she's a little bit of a thing. She's short, and she must weigh maybe, I don't know, soaking wet, 100 pounds. And you look at her, and the last thing you would think is that she's a truck driver. And she drives a truck, and I go to her, and I say, how do you do it? I don't know how her feet reach the pedals, because she's short, and she's cute. But she doesn't look like a truck driver. And she's been driving the truck forever. Yeah. And, I mean, what would I give to become a truck driver? Nothing. I would love to become a truck driver. I just don't want to have to go through the trouble of learning it.
Yeah.
So I'm not a truck driver. See? The thing is that we all have something. You sing. You have a voice that's an angelic. You open your mouth up and it's like, oh my God, I can't sing. I used to kind of carry a tune a little bit when I was very young, but well, I can't sing. And I have to say, I can't sing. There's a lot of things I can't do that I would like to do. But the fact is that I don't have to punish myself or feel bad about myself because I can't do some things that I would like to do. I do other things. See? So we all have our own little mission. We all have our own little power that we do. Find that and start working towards that. I used to think, I talk, as if you had noticed. I talk and I talk and I talk and I talk and I love to talk. Yet, for many, many, many years, people would tell me to shut up. And they had me believing that I should stop talking because I talk too much and I talk crap and I talk garbage. And they still think I do it. But see, there are people that do listen to me because what I say makes sense. To other people, it doesn't. And this is not for everybody. We're all at a different spiritual level. If you ever read the book Messages from Michael, that's a great book. I think it's out of print, but it's still being sold in Amazon, and it's a really, it's a very powerful book because it talks about the soul level and where you are at a certain point in your existence. And our soul, according to Messages from Michael, is that we there are some of us that are baby souls, infant souls, that we don't know. The same thing as a baby, a human baby. And there's an evolution of the soul. And so every time we mature, every time we grow, we then become older souls. We get wiser as souls. Assuming that we believe in reincarnation, it would make sense that we come back. Every time we come back, we have to come back to learn a different experience. And according to Messages from Michael, we all have to experience every level of being. In other words, you have to
you have to become a killer, you have to be killed, you have to be gay, you have to be straight, you have, you know, you experience all of those aspects of the maturing, and then supposedly we all go into the universal consciousness and become one, or something like that.
Yes.
I don't understand it too well because it's way over my head. but it's and then I'm not saying that it's true or it's not true. I'm saying it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Because there is so many things in life that we don't know about.
Yeah, it's like this theory. I don't know too much about quantum physics or the new theories. I have read a little, and you go to YouTube and you find a lot of interesting things. But there is this theory where we can be the, ¿cómo se dice? I'm gonna say it to the doctor in Spanish because it's complicated to translate. Somos la mosca en la mierda del elefante.
like we're the fly and the elephant's poop.
Yeah. What it means is we can be the an element in the universe, very small element that complements a bigger thing. So maybe the whole universe is a cell from a bigger organism.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know because we cannot see more than, up to today.
Mm-hmm.
We can see, we have gone far away, but there is limits for us, for our technology and everything.
Exactly. And every generation goes to that next level.
Yeah.
My generation, my parents' generation, they were all very rigid and very, in other words, and then my generation is more liberal and,
yeah.
So we were too extreme. They were too rigid and my generation is, we're not rigid enough.
Yeah.
And who knows, but we're evolving from nothing. We didn't even have electric lights, and then the lights appeared, and then the phones appeared, and then the computers appeared, and, cell phones. Who thought of cell phones or that we'd even be having cell phones at this stage of the game?
I want to live the time when you're going to put a chip inside my body,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get all the software in my head. Or
I want to learn a lot of things. And then we become robots. But the point is that, there's just so much and everybody's got so many opinions and everything is so confusing. The reality is stay in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you can do. Don't look at what you can't do. I can't lift the building. Superman can, but I can't. See? And I can't get upset because I can't sing. So I can't sing. So what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And when they were telling me that I was stupid and that I should shut up, that I talk a lot of crap, well, you know what? I'm putting that to good use now. Now I can speak and hopefully it makes sense to some people.
Yes.
See? And yet, still there are people who will tell me to shut up because they don't agree with what I say. And the point is that nobody has to agree.
Of course.
Some people will, some people won't. I'm not concerned about
that. And that's what the beauty of it.
Yes.
It's life. You don't have to agree with me. I don't want to convince you. If you're interested, just stay there and
mm-hmm.
we talk. If you don't want to be here, don't be here.
Exactly. It is what it is. It's not what it's not, so don't try to make it what it's not.
Yeah.
The reality is that if you want to have high self-esteem, then start having integrity. How many times do we say something to the effect that, okay, I'm going to register for school, and then you don't?
Yeah.
Or you say to somebody, yeah, I'm coming to your house next week, and then you don't. That's a lack of integrity. And it doesn't matter that you mean well. Well, I meant it when I said it. But if you don't follow through, then you start knowing and believing that you have no integrity because you say one thing and then you do something else. And so the your self-esteem goes down because you can't trust yourself. You know nobody else can. Nobody's going to believe you if you lie. And not following through is a lie. When you don't follow through on something that you say you're going to do, then you're lying. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to others. And the thing is that we don't want to admit that we're not perfect. And so because we don't want to admit that we're not perfect, then we wind up with no self-esteem.
Yeah.
And it's all at a subconscious level. I mean, if you look at a child, he comes home from school with all scribbles on his paper, and he gives it to his mother, and mom says, oh, my God, this is so beautiful, we're going to put it on the refrigerator. If I paid somebody to do that, to paint something for me, and they gave me scribbles, I'd want my money back. But with our kids, we tell them, oh, this is beautiful, and every time somebody comes in the door, we say, look what so-and-so did. Okay? Isn't this beautiful? And we all go, oh, and we gush. The point is that what that child did, that painting that makes absolutely no sense to anybody, that's what builds her self-esteem. But as we get older, and because we're always criticizing and being criticized, why do you wear your hair like that? Why are you wearing those pants? Why do you wear so much lipstick? Why? And so making a mistake, it's not making a mistake. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to learn. So our toxic ego has to be perfect because somebody's going to say, what you doing? You messed up. And instead of saying, okay, this is an opportunity for me to learn, we say, oh, my God, everybody's going to know that I'm not perfect.
It's like they say that un éxito es un cúmulo de derrotas.
Okay. I don't know how to try.
To have the success,
okay.
You need to go through a lot of.
You need to fail a lot of
yes.
times. And so now we've already run out of time. So I'm gonna put one up on my song, so that you can
what
hear
about
it.
This one.
We're gonna hear Mi Curandera.
Mi Curandera. Oh,
okay.
My healing.
My healer.
Yeah.
All righty then. See you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Pensamiento, alma que te deja en pena, licor de amor, sufrimiento, a lo lejos suena un tambor.